It's just been great all morning, and I thank everybody who's had a part in it, the ones that are playing instruments right here on the front, as Brother David Harrison's over there, but Miss Michelle, Miss Davina, and I didn't even look over this way, Miss Carlina, Miss Marianna, whoever's on the organ, all of it together, and then Daniel with the choir. Thank you for everything. What a joy to be in church this morning. And just to rejoice. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And to many that are joining us via live stream, I know that many of them are because of a little fear of getting out, and others on the radio, thank you for joining us. And as I mentioned earlier, I challenge each of you to follow us and keep up with the updates, and we'll try to keep you encouraged as well. Well, I want to continue on. And from the theme that we announced last week about being victorious, I want to have this emphasis throughout the year, but specifically these first few Sundays, about being victorious. I'm afraid that many of the Christians I meet, they are victorious as long as everything in their life is going right. And by right, I mean what the world would call right. I mean an unsaved person, just a general neighbor down the street that doesn't know the Lord, that they say, well, everything's going right. And sometimes we'll shout the victory when things are going right. But I remind you of what we looked at. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even if things are going what the world calls all wrong, we still have the victory. And I'm thinking about this as we look at this section of Scripture again. We're going to look at this year of our Christian life and by God's grace claim the victory, but we're also going to look at what it tells us to do in that victory, not for the victory, but in the victory. So we'll get started. I want you to look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll look at verse 57 and 58 as you find your place in 1 Corinthians 15. I did hear the story about these couple brothers. They rednecks, not the most educated folks, but they had inherited a farm from their dad. And they went down and they heard they needed to expand the herd. And so they went, heard of a bull for sale down in Georgia. And one of the brothers said, well, I'm going to go down and check it out. And then if it's a one that's worth the money, I'm going to take it down. If it's worth the money, I'll send word back to you to bring the truck, bring the trailer, come down, and we'll get the bull. So the first one went down there, saw the farmer, saw the bull. All was well. It was listed for $600, and he had $600. That's all he had, but he wanted to get it for a little cheaper. He said, would you take $500? He said, no, I couldn't do that. They haggled back and forth. He said, $595. That's as low as he'd go. Came down $5. He said, well, I'll take it. So he had $5 left. So he was going to go in town and get word through Western Union to get word back to his brother to get the truck, bring the trailer. We want the bull. And so he went to Western Union, said, I want to send a note or send a letter, send a message. My brother wants to get the truck, get the trailer. We want the bull. And he says, okay, that'd be fine. It'd be $50. He said, I don't have $50. He said, well, that's what you've got. And he said, well, how much do you have? He said, well, I got $5. How much can I send for $5? He said, well, you could send one word. He thought for a bit and he said, all right, I got it. He said, send comfortable. He said, well, I can do it. I'll gladly take your $5, but I don't understand how your brother's going to know to get the truck, get the trailer, come down. We want the bull out of that. He said, well, what you don't understand, he's not an educated man like myself. He's a real slow reader. He's not that smart. And so when he gets that word that you send up through there, it is going to look at it. He's going to have to sound it out. He's going to be very slow, and you're going to say comfortable on there. He's going to say, come for to bull, and he'll figure it out. So now, I can't say that's original, and I certainly can't say it's true, and I won't call Jerry Lovegrove's name out, but he told that joke. But now to all those that have ladies that have lighter colored hair than others, you see how politically correct I can be? To all those you have lighter colored hair than others, you should thank me that I changed the story to what I just told instead of what Jerry Lovegrove said. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says this, verse 57, but thanks be to God. This is our verse from last week, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and says, therefore, because of that, not only because of that verse, but in this whole section, this is that section of Scripture where it says that this corruptible must put on incorruption and this death is swallowed up in victory. So therefore, because of all these things, therefore, my beloved brethren, we're in 58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to focus on verse 58 and see the commands and the promises that are given to us in that verse. I'm sure you're like me. You have certain parts of your life that you just assume will always be the same. I got a picture on my phone the other day from my brother, my oldest brother, that he sent, and it was a picture of DeCarlo's. DeCarlo's Pizza is my favorite pizza shop. I grew up for the first few years of my life in the northern panhandle of West Virginia. And so it's right there on the corner in Wellsburg, West Virginia, which is where I grew up for a bit. And so Dan was up there for something, and so he had sent me a picture, and it had Brook County is the county it's in, had a Brook County Bruins, their mascot there, a sign on it, but DeCarlo's Pizza, Wellsburg, West Virginia. And in my mind, I'm thinking that place will always be there. Now, I know it's not. I know it won't always be there. Everything will come and go. But if I ever get a chance to get up there and see I still got family up there, whenever I get a chance to be up there, I certainly want to swing in and get some either square pieces instead of the normal kind, and then it's got square boxes they put it in, small ones. And You want it to always be like it's always been. You want it to be steadfast. You just want it to stay the same. And now I know that it won't in all of those things. But in that same way, the scriptures tells us here that we are supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But I wanted to look at a few of these things this morning and make sure that we understand from scripture, first of all, that we've got a place to stand. We've got a place that the scripture commands us to be steadfast. And so this morning, you've got a place to stand. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. We see the command to stay put, stay where you are. I hope that when people look back at me, they say, well, at least Brother Pastor John was always this way. At least he always did this. I may not be the flashiest. I may not be certainly the most qualified or the most equipped in different things, but I want to be faithful. The Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You may not have the flash, you may not have the finesse, but you certainly can have the faithfulness. And so I think about this, and scripture tells us to be steadfast. And I'm wondering how people will account for your life. Will they look at you and say, she was a faithful person to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will they be that he or she was off again, on again? I'm selling this morning that there's a place to stand. When John F. Kennedy was running for president, he would often tell the story about a man who was the Speaker of the House of the Connecticut House of Representatives, Colonel Davenport. The year was 1789, and there was an ominous era outside. There was a huge storm coming in, so much so that in those late 1700 meetings of the House of Representatives there, some of the representatives thought that the end was near. And Davenport spoke up. Many of them wanted to go home and adjourn and just go make right whatever was needed at their house. And Davenport said this. He said, the day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. He said, if it is not, there's no reason to adjourn. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. Therefore, he said, I wish the candles to be brought. And he said, I'm going to be found here working the work that our people sent us to work. And I'm thinking about that. We know what it's steadfast is to be staying where we were put. And we know what it's steadfast when somebody tells us to stay put there. All of us probably have been on one or both sides of this equation. We've either been the parent or we had a parent that said, stay here. I'm going to go do this. You be here when I get back. The other day, Carson, our grandson, he rolled over. So I told Jared, I said, well, it's all over. He was right there where you left him. You leave him, you got to go to the restroom. You leave him, you got to go do something. He's going to be there. Now he's going to be rolling all over the house before long. But being steadfast, unmovable, I hope to always be here. Oh, not standing in this pulpit, that'll come and go. I know age will put all of us to retirement, but I want to be steadfast, and I want to stay where I am. I want folks to be able to look back at you and I and say that he or she was a steadfast individual. Billy Sunday was a very colorful evangelist. He had been a Major League Baseball player and got saved. He was very animated in his preaching and very lively to watch. He said this about sin. Listen, in excited way, he says, I'm against sin. He says, I'll kick it as long as I have a foot. I'll fight it as long as I have a fist. I'll butt it as long as I have a head. And I'll bite it as long as I've got a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless, footless, and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory, and it goes home to perdition. We ought to be steadfast, staying where God wants us to be. But the Bible says not only is there a place to stand, be you steadfast, unmovable, but it goes on to say that we're always supposed to be abounding. in the work of the Lord, there's also a work to be done. So not only are we supposed to stand there, but the Bible says there's a work to be done. And I was thinking about this as I was getting ready for this message. I could talk about our pastor emeritus, that faithful servant, a giant of God that I met with just the other day up in the rehab. And there was a service there, and he was singing songs of Zion. Somebody was over there playing a piano, and they'd put a songbook in front of him. He didn't need any of them. He was just singing out. You know, somebody's been in church as much as he had. I could talk about our pastor emeritus. I can talk about my faithful pastor who for years has led Franklin Road Baptist Church to be a wonderful flagship church in our state. And I could talk about him, or I could talk about Scott Polly, who's graced this pulpit many times and has preached and serves the Lord. But I didn't feel led to do that. God seemed to lay three people on my heart, two of whom I've only known through reputation and their testimony. But they were members here. The first one was Jack Mosier, who I didn't know. He went to heaven in 2019. He was a Sunday school teacher. He was a deacon, bus director, led singing if needed, and did a myriad of other things here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. On his first Sunday in 1966, he rode the bus with Harold Larkey and Beulah, rode their bus, and then served from then on, doing jobs that needed done. He knew that there was something to be abounding in, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I thought about this. Brother Ted Cole, whose wife Marianna plays our organ, and two daughters serve here in different ministries. He was a head usher. He counted our buses in, took roll for them as they made here, did whatever was needed. Came to church here on Easter Sunday, 1976, for the first time. When they had his homegoing service, they found it his Bible had marked in there, Melina said, that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, that verse, because he would try to connect people with others and try to make sure that people didn't get left out. Went home to be with the Lord in 2015. I thought about those two men, and the third one I thought about was one that I did get to fellowship. Brother Harold Larkey was still here in the church when I got here as pastor. He's a bus captain, and 1966, he started the first bus route, and they parked it on their house, out at their house. He just lived back here behind the church. Miss Beulah started teaching Sunday school in 1962, and they started running the church bus in 1966. And so as they served the Lord together, and then God took him home, me and Brother Jody did that service together. And I thought that all three of these men knew that there was a labor to be done. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, you do have to be careful that your labor is not just labor for labor's sake, because sometimes we can get very, very busy, but we're not doing something that matters. You saw the scripture. It says, abounding in the work of the Lord. One leadership writer put it like this. He said, be careful as you climb the ladder of success to make sure your ladder is leaned against the right building. Because there's a lot of people who work hard in what they're doing, but the end goal of what they have isn't an eternal matter. So the scripture says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So I'm challenging everybody this week. I don't know what God will give you as opportunity, but I do know that every one of us will have opportunity. Maybe that's you need to reach out to somebody who's down and out this week. Maybe they need your encouragement. They need your prayers. They need your coming alongside of them. They need you to stop by. Maybe there's somebody that you ought to fix a meal for after a surgery this week. And you say, well, they can go by and get something on takeout. They can give something Uber Eats delivered. I know they could, but you get blessed and they get blessed. Maybe it's somebody that needs a repair at their house and you could fit that bill. You could help them with whatever's going on. Maybe somebody needs something that you have. Perhaps we could be like the early church was when those Christian brothers and sisters would see the needs of other people in the church and they would say, I can meet that need. You say, Pastor, nobody asked me to. That's the beauty of it. When the Holy Spirit of God comes knocking at your door, you don't need somebody to come ask you to do it. I'm seeing that there's an abounding work. There's a work that needs to be done, because when we find an opportunity this week to reach out to somebody, we could have the words of Christ in Matthew when he said, inasmuch as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I'm saying this morning that there's a work to be done. Oh my, one of my Bible college professors said that everybody wants a name plaque. What he meant by that was everybody liked to have a title. You're the assistant director of this, this, and this. Directors and assistants and titles and all that come and go. We don't need all of those things, and they're fine if they come. But what we do need to realize from this scripture passage is that there is a labor to be involved in by you and by me. If everybody in the world knows it, or if nobody in the world knows it but Jesus, that's the one that we're trying to serve anyway. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I would ask you this morning, do you have plans this week, or would you be open when God puts a plan on your heart to be helping somebody in this earth, on this earth and in this life? You say, well, I can't do very much. God wants us to do what he leads us to do and what we can do. I take you back to the time when the scriptures, when Jesus talked about the lady that gave her two mites. It was very little compared to everybody else. They weren't passing the plates. They just had boxes in the back. And she was putting that in. And God applauded her more than those others that put in their abundance. And I'm saying this morning that there's a work to be done, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And may we find ourselves in that way. But as we abound in this work, there's something I want you to remember. I don't think that any of us like to have our labor gone or done for naught. Most of the time, if we're going to go to the trouble of doing something, we want to have it going to something that matters. There's a truth to remember at the end of this, because the scripture gives this truth. It says that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't think any of us just like to do something for no reason. So sometimes we want to kick our gear or head in neutral, I guess, and just coast. But if we're going to do some work, we want to account or amount to something. There's a truth to remember. We don't want to waste our effectiveness, and we don't want to waste our resources. A friend of mine worked for the Heatilator Company, and there was a large plant there in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, where we're close to. And they had contracted a company to come in. It was a consulting firm from Japan, and they had come in, and they analyzed their whole operation. And as they analyzed their whole operation, what they were looking for was non-revenue producing movement. I didn't get into all of the specifics of it, but I got the gist of it. They tried to account for everything that happened at that plant. And then they tried to name them and classify revenue producing movements and non-revenue producing movements. For example, if it went from the production floor to the distribution site to a showroom, those were all revenue-producing steps, because that was getting the product one step closer to the end result, and that was the customer who was going to put money into the company. But if they had taken one of their products and put it in a warehouse, and then later they moved from that warehouse to another warehouse to store it there, that was a non-revenue-producing move. That wasn't bringing any money into the company. And so that consulting firm was trying to tell them, here's the moves that you need to try to reduce as much as possible. Well, I got thinking about that in reference to this verse, that our labor for the Lord, whether anybody knows it or not down here, the Lord knows it, our labor for the Lord is not in vain. What that company was saying is, we don't want to have vain movements. We don't want to move our product around again and again, because every time we move it, that takes some hourly wage of somebody or a salary of somebody. They've got to move it from there to here to here to here. We're going to try to reduce those vain movements. And then to you and I say this morning, God promises that when we labor for Him, we're not doing vain labor. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord, because I meet different folks that I believe they would do something big for the Lord if only they thought they might have an audience. But the scripture addresses that as well. It says when we do what we do to be seen of men, that we should enjoy the accolades that we get right then, because that's the reward that we're getting. But instead, when we do what we do because the Lord has led us, and we do it in honor to Him, regardless of what anybody else knows, then we claim the promise of this verse that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I give you one more illustration to drive that home. In 1947, there was a teacher, that was a professor rather, at the University of Chicago. He was contracted to teach a high-level physics class. He was not living right there by the campus. He lived actually in Wisconsin. It was a 50-mile drive one way, 100-mile commute round trip. But he committed to teach this class, and it was going to be during bad weather. They were, what about the drive? I said, well, I can do it. But then there were only two folks that committed to the class, two students. Everybody thought that this professor would surely drop the class because he was not going to drive that far and back just for two people. But he wanted to continue. He thought it was worth his time. So he taught that whole course. He taught it for those two. The students were very, very dedicated. They did the homework. They put in the time. They listened and they did all of the assignments. And he felt at the end of that course that he was satisfied, that he was fulfilled. But he did not feel as fulfilled then as he did 10 years later. In 1957, both of those students that took his class won the Nobel Peace Prize in physics, Chen Yang and Sung Lee. And so for the rest of his life, that professor also went on to win one some years later. But that professor felt fulfilled in what he did because he felt his labor was not in vain. Now, all of those stories are things about earthly stuff. But my friend, we've got a better heavenly accountant than anything could compare on this earth. You may put a lot of labor in a business and it may go well and there's some principles that will come forth. I realize that, but I can't promise you that all that labor might go for naught. But I can promise you this, when you serve the Lord, the Bible says we're supposed to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you can take the promise of Scripture that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look last week and just briefly this week again, but that victory in verse number 57 of our Lord Jesus, I leave you with this. That command to serve and that command to be abounding in the work of the Lord is rooted and born out of that verse previous to it, that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I leave you with this, that victory we have and that labor that we give and that assurance that we have that's not in vain, all of that victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are not working for victory. We instead are working in victory. When you are in Christ, you are not working from a spot where you're trying to get His approval. You're not working from to try to accomplish Him loving you. He loved us before we ever loved Him. You're not trying to gain His approval. You're not trying to get Him to smile on you. You, my friend, you are working in victory, not to try to achieve it. And so as we labor for the Lord, may we rest in this truth that His heavenly accounting is going very strong, and it's not in vain. If you're here this morning, I challenge you to go out these doors in victory, as I alluded to. But not only go out in victory, let's go out these doors unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. You say, Pastor, I won't even be here till whenever. You don't have to be here to abound in the work of the Lord. Find somebody who needs encouragement. Find somebody who you can serve in Jesus' name and trust that the Lord will do the heavenly accounting. And if you're here this morning, you're not saved, you're not sure that you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you, my friend, are probably looking for some victory in life, but you'll never find it apart from Jesus Christ. You can attest to it, I'm sure, that you have something in you that keeps leaving you in want. That's God showing you that you need Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning, not sure that you're saved, you, my friend, will never live in victory until you have Christ in your heart and in your life. And if you know Him as Savior today, I challenge you to walk out these doors abounding in His work. Don't wait till you get back to the next service to say, well, I'm going to work when I get there. No, be working all week long, looking for people who you can encourage, looking for people who you can lift, looking for folks that you can encourage in the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank You for this time to be in Your house. Here's my invitation to us, folks. If the Lord has dealt in your heart in a way that you know, then I challenge you to do business with Him. One of the people that I mentioned in that sermon, Ted Cole, his wife is playing the organ over here. They, for years, together served, and now she serves. And there are so many other folks that I could look to, but I want to be in that number. I want to be that one that's abounding in the work of the Lord. Maybe not the one that gets the accolades, we can save those, but that's always serving God. Wouldn't you want to be that same one? Wouldn't you want to be that one that's abounding in the work of the Lord? Because there we will know that there's something eternal in our work, and it's not going for naught. It's not in vain. Whatever your burden is from the Lord, I challenge you to commit to Him and to say, I want to always be abounding. And then if you're here this morning, not sure you're saved, in just a moment we'll stand. I invite you to come. Let me or somebody take a Bible. Let Brother Daniel take a scriptures and show you how you can be sure that you're in Christ, which is where victory comes. Would you stand together with us as Miss Davina, Miss Mariana play? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. I'd like to come and just give something to the Lord. You need somebody to pray with you, we'll certainly be glad to do that. Are you working in victory? Are you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? My friend, I can guarantee your labor is not in vain. As they play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. I'm just going to have them continue to play for a little bit. You pray. And I want you to walk out of here. I want us to walk out like a bunch of warriors for the Lord. And would you be praying right now, Lord, what would you have me do? How could I abound in your work? Who is it in my life that I could encourage? Who is it I could share Christ with? Who is it I could serve? Who is it that's in need this week that I could be the feet and hands of Jesus? Are you asking Him? Lord, who is it that I could be something to this week? We've got folks around this church that need our prayers. I was thinking about folks that need encouragement. There's been surgeries had this week. We need to be praying for Miss Laura Littleford. There's others that have had surgeries. We need to encourage them in the Lord. Brother Ed Stafford had some surgery not too long ago. We need to encourage people in the Lord. I'm thinking about, and we're not going to name all of them, but thinking about folks in our church that are right in the thick of it. They're helping family members out, and they need your encouragement as they encourage other people. Let's look around. Thank you so much. You can look this way. Well, it's a joy to be in church, and I hope that you've taken this as our marching orders to get out there and abound in the work of the Lord. I don't want our church to just be a place where we all come together and we pat each other on the back and exclaim how well everybody's doing. That's not what church is about. We come, we get encouraged, we have fellowship one with another, we eat together, we live, you know, we have good times together, but then we go out and we encourage other people. And so I'm challenging everybody to go out and do what you can to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Thank you for being here. I invite you back tonight. We'll have a wonderful, wonderful service. And I realize weather's looming a little bit there, but if you can be here safely, please come be with us. We'll have a great time together as we commission Maddie Brown into the missionary service. And we're looking forward to all of that. And we'll certainly enjoy that. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel, if you don't mind, to come and dismiss us in prayer. I'm going to be back in the lobby if you need anything. If you would like to sign up for that discovery class, I'll show you where that sign up is. If anything else you can need, please stop by. My family, I will be back there. God bless you.
Thank you so much for the work you've done in our lives and the work you've given us to do. Lord, I pray that as we go through today, that you would bless us as we go, keep us safe on the roads, but Lord, help us to enjoy some time fellowshipping together before we leave, and then Lord, whatever we do this afternoon, I pray you'd bless it, and then guide us to bring us back together, and Lord, we want to pray for Maddie that you would bless her as she has this final day, family around, a wonderful service planned this evening, but Lord, use her, we pray, use, Lord, all the aspects of what she's planned, and Lord, guide her to the field, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.